In that area, there's a 9-minute slowdown in the southbound lane as you approach Moss Landing. Then from Marina down to Seaside, it is slowed down a little bit, 3 to 5 minutes. And from Highway 68, from Salinas into Monterey, is at the limit. Highway 156, if you're heading out to Hollister, westbound lane is showing a 14-minute delay. Current temperature outside the KSCO studio is 64 degrees. Today will be sunny with a high near 72. Tonight, patchy fog after 8, low of 55. Tomorrow, patchy fog before 9, then becoming sunny, high near 72. On the seas today, northwest winds 15 to 25 knots with gusts up to 30 knots. Wind weighs 8 to 9 feet. Patchy fog in the morning. Tonight, west winds 15 to 20 knots with gusts up to 25 knots. Wind waves 6 to 7 feet and patchy fog. KSCO News Talk time is now 12:06.
Opinions expressed in the following sponsored program are not necessarily those of KSCO Radio, its staff, management, or advertisers. If something is said with which you disagree, please call us during the program in order to help us balance comments.
And now, the Tom Quinn Show.
Eu quero é samba. Este samba que é misto de maracatu. É samba de preto velho. Samba de preto tua. Mas que nada.
All right. How are you doing today, Dave?
Doing pretty well. Doing pretty well.
All right. So you have Dr. Mihai-chan?
Yes, she is. Here it is.
Hi there, Dr. Anna.
Hi there.
Just hang on for a few minutes. I have to make a few announcements, if you could be patient.
Yes.
Okay, folks, great day today. I usually take a swim before the show, but a little too overcast today, but hopefully it'll be sunny later. I want to make a few announcements and thank some of the people that keep the show on the air. As you know, this show's been on the air for over 20 years. It's listener-supported. I'm not an employee of the station. It takes about $300 a week to keep the show on the air. I think I'm currently about $1,000 behind, so would appreciate some donations. And I want to thank the local companies and the individuals that keep the show on the air. I want to give special thanks to Albert, Jeanette, Pureheart, Willow, John, and a few other local individuals and some of these businesses. These are all great local businesses. I want to thank Lowell Webb out at Webb's Organic Farm up Old San Jose Road. If you go about 5 miles up Old San Jose Road, they have farm supplies, rototillers, and chainsaws and things like that. You can meet Lowell at the Cabrillo Farmers Market every Saturday. They always have great produce. Want to thank Coyote Industrial Pressure Washing. That's Bob Farmer. If you need any help pressure washing those sidewalks and buildings and such, give them a call. That's Coyote Industrial Pressure Washing at 818-6915. Want to thank Alan Fox at Santa Cruz Roofing on Commercial Way. Good place to get your roofs checked out. I know they do good work. They recently were doing some work for Warren Heatley, who's not going to be on the show today because he's got a previous obligation. And so that's Alan Fox at Santa Cruz Roofing on Commercial Way. I want to thank Scott French at Los Animas Concrete. And Los Animas Concrete's been here in Santa Cruz since 1964. They're out near Costco, and they're the people to see if you need some concrete. That's Los Animas Concrete. Now, as you know, we've been doing a whole series of shows on this whole COVID thing, which I think is fake from top to bottom. Also think the vaccines are super dangerous. They're loaded with poisons. And we'll be getting into that as we progress on this show. And we've been doing these shows repetitively because it's my hope that you have the opportunity to listen to these MDs and PhDs and other people that know about this, and you'll see there's no uniformity of opinion on this COVID thing and on the vaccines. There's tons of doctors that think the vaccines are dangerous, and there's tons of doctors that think this whole COVID thing is, as far as I'm concerned, a COVID, a con job. And I'd like to point out that in the interview today, which will be with Dr. Mihai-chan, She might agree with everything I say. She might not. She has her own opinions, but we'll go into that as the show progresses. So we're having these shows so that you learn about this stuff, so you can talk to your friends and family and warn them about the vaccines, especially the dangerous to children, pregnant women. These vaccines are just absolutely horrible. One thing before we start the show, I'm going to say a little prayer, and I encourage you to pray with me, and that is, Almighty God, please fill our souls with your love and light. Please guide us. Please help the people of California pull together and the people of the United States pull together, all the good people in this state, in the country, indeed in the world, to pull together and to see the advantages of working together to build a better world in spite of their differences. And we also pray to expose some of these deceptions and criminality that's crept into Sacramento, that's crept into Washington, and we encourage people to wake up. So we ask you these things. We humbly ask you these things, Almighty God, and please guide everyone who's listening to find the truth and to investigate the truth. In Jesus' name, amen. So how are you doing today, Dr. Mihaicha?
Thank you. I'm doing wonderful. Thank you so much for having me on the show, Tom.
Well, it's a pleasure. It's a pleasure. I sometimes have to talk to a lot of people before I find people that have an astute understanding of what's going on, and you're one of those people. I saw you, your comments at, what's the name of that group, COVID Doctors?
Medical Doctors for COVID Ethics, yes.
And that's a big group. There's supposedly, about 1,000 doctors in that group.
Right now, there's about 140 or so, but this is an international group, and there are other groups of doctors who are working really worldwide to bring truth forward and to bring a different understanding and to warn about the dangers of the vaccines.
Well, I think it would be very appropriate to say a little about your background. You yourself graduated from a prestigious German medical school. It had such a long name, I don't think I could remember it without your help. What school did you go to in Germany?
I went to the Rhine-Westphalian Technical University in Aachen in Germany, and I did my last year of clinical studies at the University of Southern California in Los Angeles, and then my internal medicine residency at the University of Virginia in Charlottesville.
And you're different from some MDs in that you also seem to have a good grasp of holistic medicine and the natural approach, which is one of the main points of view that we spread on this show here.
Yes, you know, I am a daughter of a physician, you know, and my mom was a doctor for 35 years, and I always had big questions. I wanted to understand everything, and obviously, you know, I went to medical school with the intention to become a healer, and a lot of the things that I was taught didn't quite jive, so I went into many different directions. You know, I went to Shanghai to study acupuncture. I studied, I became a Reiki master. I studied other healing modalities. And so it was always very important for me to learn more, but then I really had a huge awakening, after I was inspired by my spiritual teacher, Ranta, actually, to research vaccine. And one day he said, physician, are you still going to give those? You know that basically they are made to create illness in people. And I started researching a lot because I was in the healthcare system. I was a geriatric physician. And I had to re-educate myself completely and really studied about exactly what you're talking about. You know, are the things that we're being told true? And are the things that are being taught in medical schools really there? Is there really a virus? And are vaccines dangerous? And I found some shocking answers that led me to leave the, healthcare system and open my own practice that practices integrative medicine. And I pretty much have replaced all pharmaceutical drugs with nutraceuticals and nutritional therapies, light therapy. And I'm always expanding my mind to new ways. I'm a certified chelation practitioner, so I detox people from the heavy metals that they get through, you know, chemtrails and vaccines and things like that.
Well, you have a book, too. It's Light Medicine, and people can get that on Amazon?
Yes, absolutely. It's called Light Medicine, A New Paradigm, The Science of Light, Spirit, and Longevity. And I talk about, you know, the approach of really understanding that it's like, look, even our model of DNA of Watson and Crick isn't accurate, and that we have to incorporate the idea of consciousness that, you know, just like you started your show with a prayer, you know, we're spiritual beings, and we're having a physical experience. And all of the scientists of quantum physics, you know, they clearly say, you know, you have to implement consciousness in what you're doing. We're not like machines, even though the globalists want to make us into robots. It's not so. And if we incorporate consciousness and understand that, you know, our state of mind, our spirituality, all of these things are affecting our health, we have to look at things in a broader perspective.
I agree 100%, and everyone's going to have to forgive me. Do you mind if I call you Dr. Anna?
Absolutely. That's how what everybody calls me.
So everyone's going to have to forgive me, including Dr. Anna, because today we're going to hop around a bit, because Dr. Anna has a lot of areas of similar interest to I. And even though this is going to be a serious interview, we're going to talk about some fun things, too. Now, on a philosophical note, and I know Dr. Anna is interested in this sort of thing, the average person doesn't really consider this as much as they should, that everything you see is a projection of God's mind. That in the spirit realm, God's Holy Spirit, or whatever name you choose to call the essence of our Creator, projects and creates matter in a type of precipitation. So in other words, the trees, the buildings and stuff, those are created out of spirit. Now, when somebody has that point of view, you see that illnesses are usually due to some sort of disruption in the flow of that spiritual energy through your body. And that could become through some sort of spiritual disturbance or emotional disturbance or some sort of trauma that the person had when they're young, or some sort of nutritional deficiency, or some sort of any one of a number of things. And there's literally hundreds of things you should look at. So that's more of the holistic point of view. Now, just to flip the coin over, if you're a materialist, which is essentially what most of these globalists are, they see the universe as being composed of small particles, small discrete particles, which, let's say for sake of conversation, you could call as very small ball bearings. And they see a tree as being an accumulation of those small ball bearings that create the tree. Or you could see small ball bearings create a human being, or small ball bearings create a house. So everything they see is basically based on small, discrete, basic building blocks. And this is sort of the atomist point of view. And you see that when you talk to physicists, where they talk about how they're looking for the God particle, or Bolson-Higgs, or they make up these names. But the fact of the matter is, if you look at the realm from a spiritual point of view, you'll see as you get smaller and smaller, you're basically dealing with electromagnetic energy waves that come from our Creator. And this look for the smallest particle is really fallacious. Now, a good example of that is when somebody that a globalist doctor thinks is sick, and they think that human being is composed of these small, discrete, you say, ball-bearing type discrete building blocks. When that person is sick, they think there must be smaller discrete particles that are making that person sick, which they call viruses. And so they look for something they can poison the viruses with. Now, if you really think about this whole thing, I think you'll see it's two very different worldviews. And the fact of the matter is, they can't prove the existence of viruses, and they never will. And this whole concept is very fallacious. Now, in your book, Light Medicine, you have a different way of describing what I just said, but you've come to sort of similar conclusions. And what's your take on the difference between, like, the spiritual type of medicine versus the materialistic type of medicine?
I do think that the future of all science has to incorporate consciousness. And people like Nikola Tesla, like Walter Russell, who talked about that light is the spiritual essence of the universe, is the mind of God, exactly like you said, and that all things come from thought and consciousness. And, you know, in the spiritual realm, you know, we've also been taught this. You know, I've been taught this at Rental School of Enlightenment. So what I'm saying is my own personal views come from my personal experience. You know, I had devastating illness, I had cancer, and I used my mind to heal myself. And I understood that attitudes like stress and fear and depression cause an incoherence in the body, which is actually a biophotonic light field. And when you have these kinds of negative emotions, you create incoherence. And there were scientists like Dr. Fritz Alexander Popp, for example, who explained literally that when you have a cancer, they have a way to look at biophotonic light emission. You're losing light from your body 6 months before the physical manifestation of cancer actually happens. This is why, for example, the research on telomeres shows that, you know, if you're depressed or if you're anxious, you shave off, you know, about an average of 6 years of life from your life expectancy. And what about the placebo effect of the mind? That if people believe they're healed, that strong belief can heal them, and it can move mountains, and it can cure all kinds of diseases. And in regular allopathic medicine, you're not allowed to talk about these things because everything is like a mechanical auto machine, you know, with parts. And just the reality is not like that. And I think that in this pandemic, one of the things that has been used is, first of all, it's planned, and we know this, but the fear-mongering, the effect of the mind, the more you fear something, the more you manifest its reality. And people then say, well, you know, but what did people get sick of if there isn't a virus? You know, well, you can see that there's a lot of environmental toxins, there's heavy metals. What's interesting now about the vaccines, which I don't call vaccines, they're really shots, they're experimental shots, but the electron microscopy shows things like heavy metals, like, you know, graphene hydroxide. There's other things in there, like steel, tellurium, and other metals. And if you look at nanocontamination of these shots that doctors call vaccines, they all have them. So it appears that if you look at the optical properties, the light properties of metal, they create a distortion of the light field, and they can cause, you know, in the body, things like oxidative stress, inflammation, etc. When I look at somebody, you know, and I can talk to people on every level. If you want to talk about just straight science, that's one level. Then you can zoom in to 150,000 feet and you look at, you know, biophysics and the spiritual reality. They're all different languages, but in many ways we're saying the same thing. And what you explained earlier is exactly right. But I think that we need to expand our scope of the universe and who we are in the universe to be able to understand the deception that has been done to the people and capturing their mind through allopathic science.
Well said. Now, in my own awakening to this gigantic con job, there were certain things that hit me on the head. One was a very wonderful book, which you folks can find on the internet. It's called Murder by Injection by Eustace Mullins. Another wonderful video is called Harry Hoxie, the Quack Who Cured Cancer. So on a more fun note, maybe we'll say a few things about Harry Hoxie, because Harry Hoxie was a real titan. He was an American, a Texan, cast of the gigantic mold where he had oil wells. He was wealthy. He owned radio stations. But interesting enough, he was a doctor of naturopathy, and his father had been a naturopath and a herbologist, and his father used to spend a lot of time talking to Indians and Seventh-day Adventists and different types of people interested in herbs, and he also would study animals and see what herbs the animals ate when they were sick, and he came up with various mixture of herbs that he felt was very good at curing cancer. And his son, Harry Hoxie, started promoting it across the United States. Well, Morris Fishbein, who was running the AMA, which we might go into later, it was a very crooked organization when it started and is still dubious to this day. Morris Fishbein got involved with a titanic struggle with Harry Hoxie, where Fishbein was trying to stop Harry Hoxie from distributing this herbal mixture that he had. And one of the reasons was it really worked. You can find that video, Harry Hoxie, the quack who cured cancer, and you'll see what I started to see, that there was an actual effort by the AMA to suppress natural therapies because they wanted to push people into therapies that made more money, specifically chemotherapy, which is garbage, radiation, which is garbage, surgery, which is more often than not garbage. And basically, they did everything they could to destroy Harry Hoxie. Now, did you see that video, Dr. Anna?
Yes, absolutely. And I've known about his work and many, many others. So basically, these efforts that after the Flexner Report in 1910, where all natural approaches were labeled as quackery, and any physician, allopathic physician who kind of engaged in some of those things, you know, very quickly was basically, you know, witch hunted, so to speak, and their reputation attacked, etc. So only the things that were in line with petroleum chemical medicine were allowed, and the research allowed, and a lot of what we've seen now with this pandemic, one of the things that it really exposed is the fraud. If you think about, you know, number one, the suppression of therapies like ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine could have prevented the vaccine rollout completely, and physicians were threatened not to use it and would get their license taken away, which is basically what Nazi Germany did, you know. So in terms of this same approach has been done to people who found solutions for cancer. You know, we think about Brzezinski, we think about Hoxie. You know, there's many, many other cures and even, you know, repurposed drugs, et cetera, more natural approaches to this. You know, then you look at the industry of cardiovascular medicine. They found that, you know, that lead is really a silent killer in the United States that causes high blood pressure as well as arteriosclerosis through chronic inflammation. And they found, for example, in a study called the TAC trial, that chelation therapy, detoxifying people, worked better than any of their drugs, lisinopril, statin, etc. And the FDA said, you know, instead of making it standard of care, they said, oh no, you need to repeat this and basically dismissed it. But this is part of this aspect of what we've seen now, that the governmental agencies, the NIH, the CDC, the FDA, and then the agencies like the AMA, then the medical boards, and then even the hospital, that they are that they're a big business, and a big business cannot function if you have healthy customers. So if you are a physician or a provider who's interested in healing people or reversing their diseases, you've lost a customer. And so people are fighting against that. They'll lock you up. They'll take your license. All of the different measures that have been done over the last 100 years. But if you really look at the people who have been labeled as quacks, who've been attacked, that is where you find the truth. And if you see the holistic doctors who, for example, died under mysterious, circumstances, and look at their work, you know, they did. They found answers for autism, for cancer, et cetera, and it was not part of the allopathic system.
Well, that's right on. Now, one of the things Dr. Anna mentioned, which is one of my favorite subjects, is going back to that book, Murder by Injection by Eustace Mullins, there's a good section that talks about the Flexner Report. So in 1909, the Rockefeller Foundation hired Abraham and Abner Flexner to produce this report, which was given to Congress. And the report basically suggested the shutting down of all the medical schools in the United States that weren't complying with what the Rockefellers thought medicine should be, and what the Rockefellers thought medicine should be with dosing people with drugs. What's very curious is that the great-grandfather Rockefeller, who was around Pennsylvania in the 1860s when they discovered oil in that area, he was taking the oil and bottling it and selling it as hair growth tonic and encouraging people to drink it. So he was using oil as a universal tonic. And that's how the Rockefellers first got into petrochemicals, because their connection with the big oil discovery in Drakesburg, Ohio, I think that was in 1840. So that whole period of time, the Rockefellers were not only consolidating their power in the oil industry, they were also consolidating their power in the pharmaceutical use of oil. And then you had the Rockefeller Foundation and Institute starting around 1900. So they had this Flexner Report. And the end result was, from 1780 to 1910 or so, anyone in the United States could be a doctor or lawyer without government licensing. They had law schools. They had medical schools. You could go to a law school, or you could be an apprentice to an attorney. And when you felt that you were sufficiently well-trained, you could declare yourself a lawyer or declare yourself a doctor if you went to medical school. So there was very little government intrusion into those professions, and that was considered the constitutional way. So starting around 1910, after the Flexner Report, that's when they started consolidating that power and creating monopolies. Now, somebody could say that the previous system wasn't ideal because you'd get some bad doctors, and I'm sure that was true, but the advantage was there was a lot of good doctors, and the situation we have now is it's a monopoly, and it makes all the doctors bad. So rather than just having a few random doctors, it's like the whole profession's controlled at the top and is basically becoming more and more rotten. And so you have the AMA is essentially controlled by these globalists. The entire how schools are set up, their accreditation, the medical schools are all controlled by these globalists. All the students are, they jam down their throats, all these drugs. Now, you went to these schools and you survived, which is great. So, Dr. Anna, during the time you went to these schools, I mean, they were encouraging to use, it's like hundreds of drugs, if not thousands of drugs. What was your take on the education?
So, you know, this is a very important point, because you cannot blame someone for something they don't know. And I practiced allopathic medicine, and in my name, vaccines were given. And at the time, I didn't know better. The point is now that once you know that there is a problem, that you change your ways. And that's what I did. I learned that there were problems with, medications, for example, statin drugs and mitochondrial, you know, toxins, and we still give them to millions of people. But there's the underlying idea is that arteriosclerosis is caused by high cholesterol. But there's other things like the heavy metals, the lead, the inflammation, et cetera, vitamin C deficiency that can cause this. So once you learn more, again, you know, what I did was I left the system, I opened my own office. And I think that what needs to happen, the reason why this crisis with the C-19 shots is going on, and all of these doctors that are employed, they cannot do anything different than what the hospital guidelines say. And so they are not allowed to give early treatments that are working for to help people, or even recommend vitamin D or zinc or quercetin to support the immune system. So the point is that if you have an ethical oath, it's called the Hippocratic Oath, that says do no harm. You have the Nuremberg Code that says you cannot do a medical experimentation on people without them giving informed consent. And if those leaflets are empty and you don't even know what's in these shots, you cannot give them. So what I did should be what every physician is doing when they're realizing, oh, you know, I am being used in a weaponized system against the people. I need to leave, quit my job, because within the system, the physicians will always be used. For years, I thought I was doing good because I was an employed physician, and I always told my patients, hey, don't do the flu shots, don't do this, don't do that. But in the end, the system uses you as long as you're employed, because there's something called pay for performance, where if you don't give a certain amount of vaccines or you don't give a certain drugs, then you're underperforming and they come and hound you. And so I think that the doctors who went to the schools because of the love of their patient, because they wanted to heal, because they wanted to do good, that was my intention as well. And they learned in this system things that just weren't true. Who would have known that the entire system is corrupt? You know, now it's coming out and everybody's seeing it. I think that what we need to do is change our ways and really go with our soul and our spirit and say, it doesn't matter if I lose everything, my job, my license, etc., I cannot proceed and give one more shot to anybody because it causes harm. There's more people who've died of the C-19 shot than have died in the world wars. This is unbelievable. It needs to be stopped right now. And there are so many reports that show there's toxic nanoparticles, graphene hydroxide. There's other nanoparticles that are self-assembling. The doctors need to stop and remember their oath, and their soul and their spirit will guide them. Leave those medical systems, open up your own shop, and then basically, you know, fight for justice and truth.
Absolutely. Now, going back in time a bit, you know, how I woke up to this gigantic con job, and I'd be curious to see what you say. My aunt got cancer, and this was back in 1965, and they were giving her chemotherapy, they were giving her drugs, they were giving her surgery, and from my point of view, they murdered her. And I could see every week she was getting worse and worse and worse and worse. And that's when I started reading books on this stuff back in 1965, 66. And the more I read, the more horrified I was. And these chemotherapies, I'm sure you've had contact with cancer therapy. As far as I'm concerned, it's just one poison after another. And it's just such a total deception. It's expensive. We've had the Gersons on this radio show who had the Gerson therapy. They were essentially run out of the United States, and now they have Gerson clinics down in Mexico. But the natural approach, like what the Gersons were using, was being suppressed by this chemotherapy, drugs, radiation, surgery, and the amount of money they make. I think they estimate they should get at least $100,000 from each cancer victim. Any comments on that, Dr. Anna?
There was a study that showed, you know, the efficiency of chemotherapy and radiation in the U.S. and Australia was like 2.5% mortality, survival benefit. You know, so basically, it's been even shown that a lot of these interventions do not work, that people are getting chemotherapy in the last 30 days of their life, you know, instead of transitioning people more to a palliative care approach. So I personally, you know, when I was diagnosed, I said, I will never, ever take chemotherapy or radiation. I have patients who do because this is what they want to do, and they augment their journey with, you know, natural treatments, vitamin supplementation, et cetera. I think that people need to know that there are alternatives. I have many patients who go to Mexico because they cannot get natural treatments here. There's other collaborations that we have, for example, with researchers in Europe, you know, who are in themselves, you know, developing protocols, for example, for repurposed drugs. Germany is very active in those areas using hyperthermia or insulin potentiation therapy. There's so many different ways of addressing this issue. But the idea even of how cancer is created, there's there is so much more to the story of even, you know, environmental toxins, of vitamin deficiency, if you have a suppressed immune system. You know, in my office, I test everybody for vitamin C deficiency with a urinalysis, and 90% of people who walk into my office door have scurvy. I mean, you know, 80% of our vitamin C is in white blood cells. So if you don't have vitamin C, your immune system is nutritionally deficient. So how are you going to fight anything? You know, then we do chelation therapy, and everybody has aluminum, has, you know, barium from chemtrails. I just did a heavy metal test on a lady. We did two chelations a week for 20 IVs. She started with a barium level of 3.8 in the urine, and it went up to 84 after this extreme chemtrail activity that we've had, where they've been spraying us every single day. So these are heavy metals that in the body cause illness, disease, symptoms, chronic fatigue, neurological impairment. And so we're getting it everywhere, in our processed food, and you know, in the air that we breathe, the water we drink, bottled water. They've done magnetic studies, and it has all kinds of metals, including graphene in there. So it's you know, you have to look at a broader way of health and how our health is being impaired. And one of the things that I want to say about, you know, for example, the heavy metals in vaccines, et cetera, it's been shown in epigenetic studies that heavy metals like lead lead to what's called DNA methylation, so that DNA strand can't be read, and that's actually passed on transgenerational. So let's say if the grandmother was vaccinated or was exposed to a lot of heavy metals, then this DNA methylation can be determined in the grandchildren. So we are affecting so much with these environmental pollutants.
Well, in my age, I've become a bit cynical about these things, and it took me a while to reach this point where I finally decided that they're intentionally trying to poison people. And here's the way it goes, folks. They're intentionally putting heavy metals in everything from baby formula to cereals, in the water, in the air, chemtrails, and also random poisons. I won't be specific about what poisons, because there's so many different types of poisons. You have people like Dr. Brian Artis, who says it's snake venom. I'm not going to say that. What I'm going to just say is the history of poisons is thousands of years old. You have plant poisons, you have animal poisons, you have mineral poisons. There's zillions of different types of poisons, including a lot of newer types of poisons, which they work on at these various labs, government labs and stuff, which, for example, sarin's a nerve gas. They have all sorts of binary gases and poisons, and they've been microdosing people on many levels. And what happens is when you get sick and you go to one of these globalist doctors, they immediately tell you you have a virus, and that's the nature of the deception. They never look into it deep enough to see there's heavy metal poisoning or different types of other poisons. They just say it's a virus, or they might say it's cancer. But the fact of the matter is you're being poisoned, and as Dr. Anna said, you need chelation and detoxification therapies. And the point being, the minute you believe that you're being attacked by a microbe, which in this case they'll call COVID-19, then they've set you up to go to the next step of the deception, which is to get a vaccine to protect yourself from this fake virus. And at that point, you're really on thin ice. If you get the vaccine, there's a good chance you could get very sick or die. And my criticisms of vaccine have been very vocal over the last 20-something years. I actually knew vaccines were garbage back in the 60s and 70s. And there's a very good book, which I encourage people to find on the internet. It's called The Poison Needle. It's by Eleanor McBean. It was written in 1950, so it doesn't cover the COVID scene, but she goes back into the history of vaccines, how they've always been garbage. And it took me a while to understand that, but vaccines have never worked. They've always been loaded with poisons. They've always made people sick, and it might take a while for you to understand that. I encourage you to do your own research. So, Dr. Anna, what do you think of vaccines in general? Do you think they've ever done anyone any good?
No, I think that you know, we know about autism in children and how the neurotoxic effects of, for example, aluminum and mercury have affected children, and it's predicted that one in two children by 2050 will have autism. I mean, this is basically will cause population collapse. And you know, if you look back in the history, even of the Spanish flu, there's the thought that the vaccine that was supposedly against meningococci, that actually caused a lot of the symptoms, that it was a bacterial pneumonia that people died of. And then, you know, with the polio epidemic, it appears that at the same time people were consuming fruits that were filled with pesticides that were full of arsenic, for example, and those things also cause neurological symptoms. So I think that what we need to do is really be open-minded and look at what we've been told over the years and just say, you know, is this just a belief that I have, and do I really know? And I think that every single human being on this planet needs to start researching ferociously. Do not believe just any expert. Don't believe me. Don't believe Tom. Do your own research. Start looking at alternative ways of perceiving things, because only then will you come to your own conclusion with your own experiences. You know, I had to take the flu vaccine, you know, because I was a doctor and I got deathly ill. I got pneumonia right away and I never took another shot. And that was a personal experience that was very powerful, that taught me, okay, there's a problem. Wait a minute. So I think that we need to reevaluate everything about the scientific model. And, you know, if you think how much the CDC, the FDA has lied to the people, how medical journals, you know, Angela Marcel, the former editor of the New England Journal of Medicine, she basically said, you can't believe any science or any medical professional, because the stuff that's being published in the medical journals, the majority of it is fake news. They fake the statistics, you know, same like for the C19 shot. They said it had 95% effectiveness, but it was what's called a relative risk, which is basically less than 1% effective, and now we have a negative effectiveness. Basically, people who take the shot, they get COVID over and over and over and over again, whatever this COVID is. They get sick, and they get blood clots, and they get myocarditis, and this whole thing about, you know, the sudden adult death syndrome that is caused by everything on the planet except the jabs. It's just total lunacy. People need to start thinking for themselves.
That's absolutely true, and basically what's curious is you can follow the proceedings of the World Economic Forum and Klaus Schwab, where they basically brag about how they want to create a global dictatorship, how the most obnoxious politicians in just about any country you can think of have been to the World Economic Forum's young leaders classes and forums. So basically, you can see videos on YouTube. If you type in Bill Gates, TED Talks, overpopulation vaccines, where he specifically said that he felt you could use vaccines to reduce the world's population 15%. I don't have a calculator with me, but that means that potentially hundreds of millions of people could die from this vaccine. So it's something I encourage people to look into. And I've had Dr. Young on this show a number of times, and I'm sure Dr. Anna is familiar with him, but he's talked about, and also that group in Spain, what is it, La Quinta Columna. So they've used a lot of microscopic work, and they've found all sorts of strange little critters in the vaccine, which includes the small parasite from Chagas disease. They found different types of hydras. They found all sorts of heavy metals. They found these graphene hydroxide that appears to be used for communication with 5G towers, so they can basically track people. It sort of gives you an IP address. And then you have these clots. If you go on the internet and type in COVID-19 vaccine clots, you'll see various morticians and MDs. They'd collect these clots that they'd taken out of people. And basically, I saw where Mike Adams was trying to analyze what they're made of. But basically, they're just all sorts of crud that's in the vaccines. And I've seen videos where these clots would be 2, 3, 4, 5 inches long. It's unbelievable. What's your take on that, Dr. Anna?
It's terrible. You know, I'm just recording a video here with a researcher from Brazil who actually did thermography and visualized these vaccines clot things in people. There's some stunning images. And what the morticians are pulling out of people is terrible. And the fact is that autopsies have been prohibited, and that's criminal, because medical research always looks at what did a person die of. And, you know, if we did these autopsies, like, for example, has been done in Korea on a 22-year-old Army recruit who died after the shot, you know, we would find all sorts of answers. And now it takes people like Mike Adams, who found in these clots high components of metals that appear to be electrically conductive and that definitely did not have the chemical composition of regular blood. And my colleague Shimon Janovitz, who actually incubated each vaccine, Johnson & Johnson, AstraZeneca, Pfizer, all of them at body temperature over 3 weeks, and showed that out of the lipid nanoparticles, there were self-assembling nanostructures that started just growing over time. And so this whole idea of the globalists to create, you know, an AI hybrid human that can be remote controlled, these vaccine passports, if you've heard the news about the truckers who were coming from America to Canada and they were supposed to show their vaccine passports, and at the border they already knew that they were coming because obviously it's possible to track them through a different signal. So there are people who looked at this Bluetooth signal. Clearly there's something going on that is highly, highly suspicious. And if we simply read what the globalists are saying that they want to do, reduce world population, my concern is that, you know, Doris Cowell, she's a PhD from the UK, who said, you know, that the mortality rates will be much worse for those who were vaccinated. And this is a horrific, horrific thing. That's a genocide, really, and we need to stop the genocide.
And there's many metaphysical and theological aspects of this. Somebody who's interested in theology knows that God has infinite abundance. There's infinite abundance of water, of food, of wealth, of all things. But if you study these globalists, they're always trying to push monopolies. They're trying to convince you to give up your free will. If somebody has had proof of the existence of God and sees that the nature of God is love and light, that also means you have free will, you have liberty, you have the ability to act on your own best interests and your own best understanding of the situation. If you notice, everything they're doing is an effort to take away your free will. Dr. Anna just mentioned they would not allow people to do autopsies. See, that's an example of taking away people's free will. People with free will wanted to see what was wrong with that person who died. So it's very important that people protect your free will, protect your liberty, and say no to this effort by these globalists to take away your free will. Now, Dr. Anna said something quite important that I want to drop back on at least a few seconds, and that is everyone knows what blood clots are. Blood clots are made from blood. But she's saying the blood clots are not made from blood. You really have to ponder, what does that mean? What's going on there, Dr. Anna? The blood clots are not made out of blood.
Well, if you have, you know, metal nanostructures, they can create, you know, blood clotting cascade. And so You know, and if they are, these nanostructures are self-assembling and they can be as large as, you know, the size of a leg, this is pretty concerning. So this is an artificial induced clotting here. And then the shedding phenomena, clearly, you know, there's researchers around the world, like Dr. Philippe Vandenbergen in Italy, who's shown that what is being shed from a vaccinated to an unvaccinated person is potentially this graphene hydroxide. Shimon Janowitz also showed this. So these nanoparticles can actually be transmitted to unvaccinated people and cause problems. And I have seen people who were in close contact with vaccinated, for example, women who started hemorrhaging, you know, people who developed blood clots, who had other symptoms like severe headaches, brain fog, etc. So I think that there is something that definitely can fall under the category of a poison. It's probably multifactorial, metallic. It can be this liposomal capsule, the polyethylene glycol. There's so many different things that it can be. But I'm very concerned about these metals, because if we go back to light, we are spiritual beings incarnated in a physical body. And if you change the electrical properties of the electromagnetic frequency field that we are, you can induce all kinds of diseases, and you can affect emotions, and you can affect, you know, the spiritual experience of people. So there's something that's much bigger than just physical depopulation.
So, folks, this is the Tom Quinn Show. You can get a hold of me at 831-435-8491. That's 831-435-8491. Love to talk to you. We encourage people to help support the show. That's what keeps it on the air. Today we're interviewing Dr. Anna Mihaicha. And Dr. Anna has a book, Light Medicine. You can find that on Amazon. Do you have a website, I assume, Dr. Anna? What's that?
Yes. So the book is called Light Medicine, A New Paradigm, The Science of Light, Spirit, and Longevity. That can be found at arsemasophiapublishing.com. I also have a Substack where I write, which is my name, Anna Maria Mihaicha, MD, PhD. My office is called AM Medical.
Let me spell Anna's last name. It's A-N-A, and it's M-I-H-A-L-C-E-A. And I encourage you to get in touch with her and to look at her book. Now, one thing you mentioned earlier is, and this would take a whole other show, and we've only got a couple minutes, it's really pretty remarkable how many really great doctors were suppressed over the last 100 years. I mean, I mentioned Hoxie, and you mentioned, what was his name, Brzezinski, the guy in Texas?
Dr. Brzezinski, yes.
Yeah, and there was Dr. Donsbach, who was in Southern California, and then you had Royal Rife in his microscope. I mean, what are some other people you've heard of that have been suppressed? And you mentioned some of the dead doctors, too.
Well, you know, Wilhelm Reich, who found orgone therapy, and he healed people with that way, and he also found a free energy source. I mean, he died as a prisoner in federal prison for what he did.
Destroyed his books, too, which is pretty remarkable.
They burned his books, absolutely. And the same thing is applicable, you know, to physicists who looked at free energy. You know, we already have ways of producing free energy, and it's the same thing across the board. Anything that doesn't go along with the globalist agenda, the illusion of the enslavement of humanity, the creation of artificial lack. We have no lack. It's just like you said, you know, God is infinite abundance, and you know, if we live, if we raise our vibrational frequency, we live in harmony. We understand and live the unity of all of humanity. We're all one. We're not separate with anybody, not by race, not by creed, not by finances. That's all an illusion created by the globalists. And there's no lack. You know, there's genius inventions. Tesla already has brought us 100 years past where we are now.
That's absolutely true. Okay, folks, get a hold of me at 435-8491. We'd love to hear from you. Be sure to look up That's Dr. Anna Mihalcea. That's M-I-H-A-L-C-E-A. She's up there in Washington, and she also has a clinic. Maybe some of you might want to meet her in person, but you can find her book on Amazon. That's Light Medicine. So we have about 30 seconds, Dr. Anna. Do you want to give us all a sort of a rounding send-off for the last 30 seconds?
I just want to say, you know, this is an exciting time of hope also. You know, we see the old guard fall, and there is this great awakening of people to see the illusion, but we get to rebuild our world, and we get to do it with love and with unity and to learn from each other.